Philippians chapter 4. We're coming to a close in this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church. But I think it's interesting that in all his writing in Philippians, the book of Philippians, he saves this till the end. And he teaches on contentment. And now he doesn't come out and say this is going to be teaching on contentment, but that's what these passages from verses 10 through 19, they teach us about contentment. And it dawned on me one day, as I was studying through this passage again, as I've done through so for the last couple months, if this was the last thing that Paul gave to the Philippian church, don't you think we better take heed and listen to it? I think it's absolutely key in our society today and in Paul's life to have contentment. Contentment was crucial. It's crucial in your lives. It was contentment that caused Paul to be what he needed to be because he learned contentment. Now, to show you the background for the guests and visitors that are with us, in verse 10 of chapter 4, Paul writes this to thank them. Now, you got to understand that the Philippian church was the only church that supported the Apostle Paul on his journeys. And they began when he left Philippi and established the church, and they supported him. But somewhere in the middle, but for 10 years, they had stopped supporting him. Whether they lost income and because of what was happening in Rome, happened in Philippi, or they just lost contact of the Apostle Paul. They didn't know where to send the money. They didn't know how to help. They didn't know how to be a blessing. For 10 years, they had not sent him anything. But as the Apostle Paul makes his way back to Rome, and you'll find that in Acts chapter 26, 27, and 28, he makes his way back to Rome. The church of Philippi understands he's coming back to Rome, and they send a gift once again to him. And it was through Epaphroditus who they sent to stay and minister to Paul and help Paul in any way he could, and they took a gift to supply his needs. Well, Paul was so thrilled with the gift but it wasn't because of the money that was coming in. It was because of their love for him. It was reestablished. He now knew again. He probably hadn't heard anything of the church of Philippi in those 10 years. He'd lost contact with them, and now all of a sudden that contact is renewed, and he's excited. So that's why he writes in verse 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. He said, I'm so excited that our connection has been made because this is a church I love. But the Apostle Paul wanted to make sure that this wasn't derogatory in the fact that, oh, sure, now you're supporting me again after 10 years. And that's why he went on to verse 11 and he said, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, it was the greatest thing that you didn't support me in those 10 years. Because I don't speak in respect to one. I'm gracious that we're reconnected and your love for me and my love for you has been reconnected and reunited. And I'm so thankful for the gift that you've given me and Epaphroditus coming over. But during those 10 years, I don't want to make it sound like I'm ungrateful because you didn't support me for those 10 years. Because I've learned through those 10 years, he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And the Apostle Paul learned. It's something he learned. He wasn't content when he went into the ministry, but he learned that contentment. That's what he says. And I've learned to be content because when I'm content, that's when God will use me. God can use me. He said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I've been through it all. But the key in his life was contentment. Because when you're content, and that's what you'll see in verse 13. For verse 13, probably 90% of you in this audience has memorized this verse. I know in Awana, when I went through Awana and Jet Cadet and all the programs that I went to growing up, I must have learned this verse through quizzing and the different things I did growing up in the church. I must have memorized this many, many times and could quote this. You know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that verse has been used, but you have to see it within the context of what Paul wrote this verse. And when you understand Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, within the context of what Paul wrote, that's when it comes alive to you. So the key was contentedness. And so the last 2 weeks, I've taken the time to tell you the idea behind contentness. How can you get contentness? How do you be content in your Christian life? Well, number one, you have to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. You have to be not just acknowledge the sovereignty of God, but you have to be confident in the sovereignty of God. You have to know that God's in control, but not just say God's in control, but live your life as if God is in control of everything that happens in this world today. You know, it's so easy to say, yep, God's in control, but then when the virus hits and when the political things in the world begin to unravel and America begins to change a little bit, lose some of the freedoms it has, and the world begins to fall apart a little bit around us, we oh my, has God fallen asleep? We lose sight of the sovereignty of God. But the Apostle Paul, in teaching on this contentment, you have to have and acknowledge and have confidence in the sovereignty of God, that God is in control, he's in charge, and everything that happens, happens by his plan, his purpose for your life and my life. That's the first step. But then we learned the second step was you have to be satisfied with little. We have so much in America. We have so much and we want so much. But I'm so thankful I grew up in a home years ago, almost 50 years ago, 60 years ago. I grew up in a home that was very poor. But I told you this a couple weeks ago. I didn't even know I was poor. I had no idea I was poor. Because I didn't have those things, I didn't want things, and I didn't think, and everybody had those things. But that's all changed today. We have so much, and we expect so much and want so much. And we think we're deserving of everything. And our younger generation has grown up with, they've got to have. And Paul simply says, it's not wrong to have, but learn to be satisfied with little. When you don't have it, stop complaining. When you don't have everything that everybody else has, don't stop complaining because God has a plan and purpose for your life. Be satisfied with little. And thirdly, he said, you need to live above your circumstances. Don't let your circumstances control you. Don't let the circumstances of life control you because they don't give you joy. They don't give you peace. He said, you've got to live above your circumstances. And if we'll do those things, that's when the contentment begins to settle in our lives. But what's the importance of contentment? Why are you putting such an emphasis on being content, Pastor? Well, I think verse 13 sums it up for us. Paul said, I can do all things. He should say, I like it better, in Christ, which strengtheneth me. See, that verse is in the context of when I believe in and I'm content with what God is doing in my life and I have a contentedness, that's when I'll see God work. See, we've learned that contentment is being satisfied in the midst of the problems and the situation, not being free from the problem. Today, Lee, we live in a very discontented culture, even with us having so much. It's absolutely necessary for the Christian to live the contented life, and I'm going to show you why in just a moment. Again, we've taken a look at contentment, and I'm not going to take the time, but we need that contentment in our lives. But when we live a contented life, I think verse 13 comes alive, and the fourth point is that contentment is sustained by divine power. That's when we see divine power. We are not to be self-sufficient, but Christ-sufficient in our lives. And when we come to the end of our human resources, that's when we can be infused with strength, the strength of Christ. What Paul is saying in verse 13 is that when he's reached the limit of his resources and strength, even to the point of death, which he was at that point in Rome, he was infused with the strength of Christ. You see, I've told you this many times, but for the guests and visitors, Paul wanted to reach, it was his goal to reach the palace of Rome. He wanted to go right into Caesar, but there was no way humanly possible to get into the palace of Rome. But God said, Paul, you just trust me. Now, I'm going to put you in a shipwreck, and you're going to have a lot of battles going on, and I'm even going to put you in prison. But while he was in prison, chained to the Praetorian Guard, who were soldiers that were committed to Caesar himself, that lived in the palace, Just imagine those Praetorian guards as they were chained to Paul, four different guards, 6 hours a day, 24 hours a day. And the Apostle Paul, what do you think he gave them? The gospel. God gave them a witness, and they took that witness. I believe many of them got saved and will know in heaven one day. And they took it back to the palace, and the gospel was in the palace because Paul was content with what God was doing in his life. You see, that's when you see the power of God. The clearest illustration of this, the Paul's learning when he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be with content. You'll go back to the Corinthian church when he was in Corinth with the Corinthian church. Now, that was a very carnal church. I'm going to do a study on 1 Corinthians down the road. And that was a very carnal church and a very wicked church, and they had some major issues and problems, but God used the Apostle Paul there in a special way. But while he was in this second letter, the second trip to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians, he wrote this letter, and he gave us some insight to his life. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, he said, lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. He said, lest I get cocky and prideful because God has given me some wonderful revelations. Matter of fact, God took him to the third heaven even. He got a glimpse of the third heaven. And when he came back, he said, the things are up there. There's not even words to describe what heaven's like. The Apostle Paul saw Christ on the Damascus Road. He was face to face with Christ. The Apostle Paul got the revelations of the church and what was going to be established. I mean, God opened the door to the Apostle Paul. He saw what God's plan for this age was, the church age was, and he gave it to Paul. But Paul said, lest I should be exalted and lest I should fall into my pride, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, in the midst of all this, well, God had blessed me with so many things, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. God brought battles into my life, a thorn in the flesh. And this thorn was inhibiting to the Apostle Paul. Now, I lean toward, but I'm going to give you a couple. It doesn't matter what the thorn was. So that's not the debate. But you know, many commentaries think the thorn in the flesh was his blindness, that Paul was going blind. And if you look at some of his early writings, as he ended up, he would dictate them to people who would write them, and then he would put the last part in, and his letters were huge, signifying that maybe he was losing his eyesight. He wasn't completely blind, but it was to that point where he had to write in big letters to sign things. And so being blind, if that was true, and maybe from the Damascus Road when he looked up and saw the glory of Jesus Christ and he saw Jesus Christ in the bright light, maybe that did, and he went blind at that time, and Ananias came and he received his sight back, but maybe there was some damage done to his eyes and he had that blindness. Now think about it with me for a minute. The Apostle Paul going blind. I mean, he traveled everywhere by foot. He to get around, he had to have somebody lead him. He had to have somebody take him. I mean, he couldn't go into a store and make a purchase. He couldn't go places. He couldn't preach to you and have eye-to-eye contact with you. He couldn't do those things because of his blindness. And the Apostle Paul, I think he believed it inhibited him from being effective in the ministry if the thorn was blindness. Now, stay with me a minute. And Paul said, I besought the Lord three times. I begged the Lord. I went to the Lord on my knees, and I begged the Lord to take this thorn away from me. He said, I could be so much more effective if I wasn't blind, if it wasn't for my eyesight, if that's what it was. But then many commentaries also said this. The second thing it could be is the messenger of Satan, that a demon had led some of the false teachers that had come in and began to attack the Corinthian church. And every time Paul took one stride forward with the Corinthian church, these false teachers that were demon-possessed would come in and just create havoc in the church, and they would take two or three steps backward. And it could have been that these were messengers of Satan. This demon possession, these false teachers were just creating havoc for the apostle. And every time he preached, they would mock him. And every time he would try to go forward, they would try to send him backwards. And he was gaining nothing with the Corinthian church. And maybe that's what the thorn was. I don't know, but it was something that bothered the apostle Paul that kept him in his mind from being effective for Christ. And he said, I besought the Lord, I begged the Lord three times to take this away from me. But then now watch, this is what he learned. This is when it gets good. In verse 9, he said unto me, God said to Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. And for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. And my strength will be made perfect in your weakness, Paul. So most gladly, Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, and in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. I will glory in them. I will be content in them. Why? Because when I am weak, then am I strong. See, Paul said, I learned. Those 10 years you didn't support me, those 10 years I went hungry. And if you read in 2 Corinthians, Paul listed all the things, hunger, he went through it. He didn't have a home to stay in. Many nights under the sky, under the stars. He suffered an awful lot. But he said, I remain content because I've learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Why? Because when those problems come, I will glory in them because that's when I know I can do all things in Christ, which strengthens me. See, when the problems came like he was going to Rome, that's why, if you remember, Agabus came to him and put a girdle around him and said, the person who has this girdle is going to suffer much persecution and go through much trials and tribulation. And Paul said, I will glory in that, even if it means death. Bring it on. Now, why? He wasn't being arrogant and cocky. But he knew when he was weak, guess what? Then he was strong. And so he was content. He was content with everything that happened in his life. He was content with the problems. He was content maybe with the blindness. Maybe with the false teachers and the battles he faced day after day after day, even going to prison and being in Rome for 2 years bound by chain to the Praetorian Guard, eating very little, having a place that was a very, very probably not conducive place. It wasn't a hotel or motel by any stretch of the imagination. He probably slept on the floor leaning up against the wall. He said, I've learned to be content. And if you follow the Apostle Paul, he almost got giddy. He almost got excited all the time that happened because he said, when that happens, guess what? That's when God's going to work. When I am weak, then he is strong. And that's why he wrote this phrase. I can do all things in Christ, which strengthens me. See, we take that out of context. We say, well, I can do all things through Christ. No, you can do all things when you're in Christ, when you're contented in your life. You're contented with what God's doing because when it all runs out and your human strength is gone, when you are weak, then am I strong, God said. That's when you'll see my power. That's when you'll see my working. I'm convinced today we don't see the power of God. We don't see the working of God, partly because we don't live a contented life. We're not satisfied with the problems, with what God's going to do, because we haven't learned to be content. We're not trusting in that sovereignty of God, that God knows what's best for us and he's preparing us for eternity. We haven't learned to be satisfied with little. We haven't learned to live above our circumstances. We've lost, Paul said, I learned. When you didn't send any money for 10 years, I'm not sad about that. I'm gracious for it. Why? Because I learned that when whatsoever state I am to be content, because when I am weak, then am I strong. I can do all things in Christ which strengtheneth me. In that sense, contentment becomes a byproduct of distress. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, but I like it better. He can do all things in Christ. When Paul says all things, does he literally mean all things? Well, does it mean you can go out outside today and jump over the church? Can you go home and jump over your house? No, that's not what he's saying. Of course not. Paul says, I can do all things in Christ. And the context is the will of Christ for your life. Whatever God's called you to do, you can accomplish. Great things can happen. There was no way humanly possible for Paul to reach the palace. But God provided a way. When I'm weak, then am I strong. And I guarantee you, sitting in that cell, chained to a Praetorian guard, losing all his freedom, waiting to hear from Caesar if he was going to be beheaded or not, Paul was the most contented person because he just sat back and said, when I'm weak, then he is strong. And he knew God was going to do something. And he said, that's when I said, I can do all things when I'm in Christ, because it's Christ that strengthens me. When I'm in Christ, Christ has given you the power to do, or what he's called you to do, he'll give you the power to do. He's given you a gift, and he'll give you the power to exercise that gift when we live in a contented life. A gift is simply a manifestation of the Spirit of God in the life of a believer. And as long as you're in Christ, you can have that power. Dr. J. Vernon McGee summed it up for me in an illustration. Let me give it to you real quickly. He said, when I used to travel to preaching engagements, I hated to fly. He didn't want to fly. So he'd take the train. And there was a train that went all the way from Los Angeles, where he was located in Los Angeles, all the way to Chicago. It was called Super Chief. He said that train was powerful. It could go up any hill, through any valley, any curve. I mean, this was a powerful train. And as long as that train was on the track, it could go all the way from Los Angeles to Chicago with absolutely no problem at all. But this is what he said. This is where the light bulb comes on. He said, but if that train gets off the track, it's going to be derailed. As long as the train stays on the track, it has all the power it needs to go all the way from Los Angeles to Chicago and face any issue, any hill, any curve, as long as it's on the track. But once it gets off the track, he said, the train then suddenly becomes derailed and can go nowhere. He said, that's the idea. As long as you're on the track, as long as you're in Christ, as long as you're content with your life, as long as you're trusting in the sovereignty of God, as long as you're satisfied with little, as long as you're not letting you're living above your circumstances and not letting your circumstances, if you have that contentment, when God put, he put you on a track, and as long as you stay on that track, you will see the power of Christ in your life. The moment you get off the track, you'll be derailed. Our divine power comes through Christ, which strengthens us. Christ is the one who strengthens you and enables you to do God's will for your life. He certainly does not mean that he's putting into your hands unlimited power to do anything you want to do, but rather he gives you the enablement to do the things in the context of his will for you. And when you and I are in Christ, we're unstoppable. But the minute you and I step out of the glorious position we have in Christ, we step out of God's will by either sinning or willfulness or lack of fellowship with him, we become derailed. But if you'll stay on the track, if you'll live that contented life, Paul says, if you abide in me, that's what Jesus gave to John. If you abide in me and your words and his words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Again, it's important to note that only those who live lives of obedience to God and stay on the track to his will and live that contented life can sustain that power. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who I read quite often, he's more of a deep author. And so once in a while, he has some topics that are just tremendous, like the armor of God. He has the greatest material on the armor of God that I've ever read in my life. So I wanted to see what he said about Philippians, and he used this illustration, and I want to give it to you real quickly. He said when he goes to preachers' meetings, preachers are always talking, and the number one question that comes up amongst preachers, as they discuss preaching and the power of preaching. How to have power when you preach. And the typical response is that we go to our knees, and the preacher goes to her knees and prays for power. And this is what he said. He said, I think that may be quite wrong. Took me startled for a second. I thought we were supposed to go to our knees and pray for God's power when we preach. He said, I think that could be quite wrong. He said, well, it certainly is wrong if that's all the preacher does. He said the way a preacher has power when he preaches is to prepare his message carefully, to study the Word of God, to think on it, analyze it, put it in order, do his utmost, walk with his God, spend time in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then when he preaches, he'll see the power of God. Most preachers think if I just get on my knees 10 minutes before I preach and ask God for power, that's where the power lies. I get what he's saying. But he said all this to say this illustration. He said that's like the lay person or the normal Christian. They think if they just wake up one morning and pray for God's power today, God's going to empower them and they can do all things through Christ, which strengthens them. But that's not the truth, folks. The secret to power with God is to discover and learn from the Bible and learn about Christ. What I have to do is go to Christ and spend time with him, to meditate upon him, to know him. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 10, he said, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Why? Paul got it. He said, I have to know him. I have to know everything about Christ. I have to spend time. I have to meditate upon him. I have to think about him. I must read my Bible. I must exercise it. I must practice the Christian life. And when I put all those things into practice, that's when I'll see the power of God. So we take this chapter 4, verse 13, and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. But you got to be on the track, folks. You got to learn to be contented in your life. You've got to learn the truth that Paul learned, when I am weak, then he is strong. It's not your power that's going to make a difference, it's his power. It's not your working that's going to make a difference, it's his working through and in your life. See, I don't have to be strong, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said, I've learned. I've learned to be content. Why? Because when I'm content, the problems come, the battles come, and I'm weak, that's when God takes over. And I see the power of God in that situation. That's the idea. There is no quick fix or shortcut to contentment. It comes to those who are strengthened by his divine power. And his divine power does not come from counseling or therapy or self-help formulas, but by consistent godly living and living a contented life for the glory of Jesus Christ. One author said this, and I'm almost through. He said, the divine power is like a pacemaker. And it only works when it's needed. You know, I know people who've had a pacemaker. My father-in-law had a pacemaker. The pacemaker there wasn't to beat the heart. The pacemaker was there if the heart got out of rhythm or stopped beating, then the pacemaker would step in and cause it to get back into rhythm. The pacemaker only works when it's needed. And you only see God's power when it's needed. You see God do the things that you have to sit back and say, that has to be a God thing. But we don't see that in Christianity today very often. You know why? Because I think Paul summed it up. He said, I learned. This is what I learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I've learned to have confidence in the sovereignty of God, that everything God does is right and perfect. And it's to prepare his way on this earth, but it's to prepare me for eternity. I've learned to be satisfied with little. It doesn't matter. Because this life, this isn't what it's all about. It's all about eternity. And I've learned to live above the circumstances, Paul said. I've learned those things. And in those 10 years where nobody gave me a dime, nobody was there. I didn't even know if people were praying for me. But in those 10 years, I walked with my God. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He said, I learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Because when I'm contented, it doesn't matter what happens. Because I can do all things in Christ, which strengthens me. Well, you could claim that this morning. But not because it's a verse that's easy to memorize or the verse that sounds good. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. No, it just doesn't come to the normal Christian. It doesn't come to the Christian who doesn't take time to walk with his God. He says, I can do all things in Christ. Why I'm on the track. Why I'm living a contented life. Why I'm satisfied with whatever God's doing because I'm confident in his plan and purpose for my life. I'm very satisfied with little. I don't need any more. I'm going to live above the circumstances that come into my life, and I'm going to be contented, because when that happens, that's when I'll see the power of God, because God works. He works in spite of us, not because of us. Sometimes he brings these things into our lives so he can say, now, let me show you how it's done. Paul said, God taught me that, so I didn't take the glory. When I preached and saw hundreds saved, it wasn't me, it was him. When I healed those people on the island of Miletus, it wasn't me, it was God. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's the power of Christ. I can do all things in Christ, which strengthens me. You want to see God do something in your life? It's just not going to come overnight, and it's not going to become because you leave this building and say, I want to do something great for God. No. I'll tell you when something great's going to happen, when you learn to be content. And to be content, you have to be content in the midst of battles and problems. Life gets a little rough. The trials get a little tough. You say, I'm okay with that, God. Because when I'm weak, then am I strong, because I can do all things in Christ, which strengtheneth me. What a powerful verse. But it's all within the context of learning to be content in your life with what you have, with what you are, with what Christ is, and with what Christ wants to do in and through you. I can do all things in Christ, which strengtheneth me. Are you living a contented life? I want every head bowed and every eye closed just a moment. My time is gone. I'd love to finish out this sermon. But in verses 14 through 19, Paul gives one more point about contentedness. This is what I needed to hear. I needed to learn this as your pastor. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Content with the battles, content with the problems. Content with the good, content with the bad. Know how to be abased and how to abound. I need contentedness because when I run out of the ability and the strength, when I'm weak, I'm just simply contented, then am I strong. Are you content? If you want to see the power of God, apart from it, apart from contentedness, you will not see it. I don't believe so. You have to learn to be content. You get sick, you have to learn to accept it and be content. You have financial difficulties, you have to learn to be content and accept it. You have battles at work, you have to learn to be content and accept it. Because when you are weak, that's when you can do all things in Christ, which strengthens you. Is that true in your lives? In just a moment, Julie will play one verse with every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you.